Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Stop being stupid, people.
All bets are off.
You all suck.
I'm Morenci Unfiltered.
Scumbags! Get on the grid, a sports grid. I am Morenci. This is Morenci Unfiltered. Let's get down to business. We've only got a certain amount of time. I feel like the clock is ticking already. Let's bring in Richard Garner right now. A lot of subjects to hit. Richard, it's always a pleasure. Welcome to Morenci Unfiltered. How you doing, Richard?
I'm doing great, Gabe. What exactly does unfiltered mean?
Well, you know, I like to, you know, it's a good question, actually. I'm not really a fan of the name Morenci Unfiltered, but, you know, our names stick forever, like Game Time Decision, Sports Rage, and now Unfiltered as well, because that would, like, somehow insinuate that I'm at other times, like, filtered, right?
Yeah,
which
fair, yeah.
I like to consider myself pretty much unfiltered and unhinged. Actually, it should be Morenci Unhinged. I like that, actually. Moving forward. Unhinged, because whatever, man. It's like I'm unfiltered 24/7, but that's another story. But you know what it is? We're getting more mainstream, in all honesty. Like our shows, you know, our show from the racetrack, we can get a couple of jokes in, but, you know, you can't sit in a FanDuel sportsbook and just crack jokes with Cam for 2 hours or rant about politics. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do a morning show, which is, you know, it's sports based, essentially. And not that I don't get my little one liners and my cracks in and my message out, Richard, but this show is sort of where, you know, I can talk about, you know, the betting odds for the Democratic process and just sort of have more of a long form interview. So there's a lot of stuff I want to get to. So first things first, the NHL trade deadline just came and passed, and I saw you retweet something that I posted last week about the buzz leading into the trade deadline. And it's like clockwork, like every year. And the best part is, Richard, the same guys get traded every year. Like, I'd like to know how many times Pierre LeBrun has broken and Wayne Simmons is on the move.
Yeah. Well, I think the past 4 years. Like, I think he's literally been traded the last 4 years. A lot of B's and C's, even some D's. A lot more moves prior to this Monday trade deadline. And inevitably, we end up in the same place every year, Gabe, talking about how it's anticlimactic, talking about how all the rumored moves that sounded wild and exciting, everything from Jumbo Joe Thornton to, you know, some bigger moves like Carey Price, mega trade, super trade with Colorado. Like, there was some really exciting rumors. In the end, much ado about nothing.
It never happened.
And then there's tons of coverage all day long from your big sports network, especially in Canada. But they must be getting the numbers, Gabe. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, and you're right. People fall for it and get excited about it on a yearly basis. Like, I remember years ago, we used to make fun of them when it would be like, you remember we'd have like Ludzie and Cooley and Strachan. It was enough, all right? You know what I mean? You had Strachan with a scoop, Cooley, and, you know, read the damn wire. Who cares who got it first? And people be up to date, but it's almost like you got to laugh now, like CNN, like they've literally got like 19 people on a desk. Like it's the largest desk ever. And as somebody that knows how expensive TV desks are, that's what I watch. I'm like, damn, man, that desk ain't cheap, bro. Like I'm telling you,
just a desk
like that we have, sort of like a nice looking glass pro style desk, TV desk. Richard, you're talking 15, 20K. Right. So
yeah,
like
but,
that CNN one is a freaking spaceship, bro.
but I think it's funny because I, you know, this is the same type of mindset, right? We think that way because we've been on both sides. I look at those CNN desks and the trade deadline desks were similar. Again, in Canada, TSN, Sportsnet, four desks deep, 20 people. But I look at the CNN stuff, right, where first of all, like it's a producer's nightmare. Yeah, and imagine you're trying to get a word in edgewise with the 19 people. Of course, you got to yell. But outside of that, I do think of the cost. I look and think to myself, every single one of these people at this desk is getting minimum 100K a year out of CNN. And some of them are probably getting $400,000, $500,000, whether it's Borger, whoever it is, right? And I'm thinking, you got 20 people here, probably this desk alone of talking heads and windbags. in the end is probably nightly $200-300 grand to produce that. And they do this every night. That's all they have is talking heads. So you got people staying in hotels, got makeup, you know what I mean? Like the cost
that goes into Letterman. It's not Letterman where they're doing it for free. You're right. It's different. Like talk shows generally are paying guests, but they have contributors who, as you stated,
for sure,
they're not coming into the studio. You're right. They're getting put up at the hotel. Oh, the production cost. Eh? You're right. Just freaking enormous. Just like enormous. The best part is though, at least, and you know what? The sports guys are bad, but the political pundits now, I'd like to know, like, which poll Bernie Sanders, is not leading over Joe Biden. Like, when they tell us, well, the front runner is Joe Biden, like, says who? Like, they made him the front runner, like, before it started. It's like, hey, guys, I think you're the front runner thing. Like, they're all shocked. Wow, the polls. I think your polls were wrong, or you make your polls up. As much as people don't like Trump, a lot of what he says is sort of right. They just don't like the way that he says it about their polls. But just a quick thing about their panel, Richard, and you brought up Glory Borger. Listen, I don't want to be mean. I'm sure she's a nice lady. Like, you know what I mean? I'm sure she has a daughter that plays soccer somewhere. And you know what I mean? Like, if you met her in the mall, you wouldn't be like, oh, what a horrible person. But for the love of God, like, whatever she makes, it's like, it's too much. All right?
Yeah,
like,
I agree. So, 100%.
No, but the thing is, like, she's the queen of it, and they all are. Like, they'll tell you what somebody just said. What did you break down the speech for us? And they'll repeat the talking points. There's no like analysis from the speech. They lied 72 times and they're fraudulent. there's no, and I don't know if you saw this actually, Richard, like there's so much to get to, but did you see, so Blagojevich, the former governor of Illinois got out of jail, right? Trump commutes him. So, and it's great. Trump only does it because Trump hates the guy that busted him. It's Comey and his buddy. So Trump's like undoing everything now. And he goes on Anderson Cooper. And Blagojevich is like, Anderson, I'd like to work with you like for prison reform and injustice, as I saw firsthand how disproportionate. And Anderson lost it. Like, he literally lost it for real. Like, he nearly swore. He goes, you got a lot of effing nerve, you know, because you left 3,000 people in jail. And he goes, you're out getting your nails done and your hair done, and you got the effing nerve. And he goes, quite frankly, you make me sick. And he starts going off. And Blagojevich just takes it. And after, I was like, wow. Man. People are like, oh, Anderson Cooper's a hero. That's journalism. Call out. And Anderson, quite frankly, I think you're full of shit. Remember he said? And it's like, holy crap, this is like that network I'm not taking it moment anymore. But I tweeted after, I said, great journalism, Anderson. How come there's not that rage with everybody though? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how many, like, imagine if they did that with everybody. Like, everyone went on the news and they just said, listen, you're full of shit. You didn't do your job. You don't do your job. You know, you're a drunk. You don't even show up for work. Imagine like if everyone got called out all the time like this, maybe we would have something. But I guess Blago was nice low hanging fruit for him to flex his muscles for one night, Richard.
Well, that's a perfect way to say it. And I'll say a few things about that. And even going back to the Biden thing, like it reminds me, do you remember when you first heard about the 100% grade A beef? Remember back in the day? But this is pre social media, but people started saying, no, that doesn't mean it's actually 100% grade A beef. McDonald's was smart enough to brand it 100% grade A beef. So that if people are going around saying that, doesn't mean it is. And the Biden thing's the same. He just gets branded the front runner out of the gate because he's the former VP, whatever. There's no analytics showing that he's the VP or he's the front runner, especially considering he hadn't really been on the radar for a while, and then he was going through the other scandals. And you are watching a very similar thing to what happened with Trump, right? Which was, you know, I try to defend to whatever degree that there's not a left-wing bias in the media, or that there wasn't, or proportionately there wasn't to where people said it was back in the day. But there was. There always was. Of course, there's corporate media. There's other things that go on. It's not as simple as that. But yes, there is. So in this particular period where Trump was obviously starting to go from joke to real contender to ultimately the president of the United States, I mean, you never saw this, Gabe, in your life, nor did I, especially the actual night of. You saw visibly derailed, unhinged, miserable, angry, shocked media with every passing hour.
Oh, yeah, Martha, I believe her name is Martha Raddatz on ABC, actually was in tears. She couldn't hide it.
I mean, we got to
take a quick rapid fire break in a minute here. And you're seeing the same thing play over. Chris Matthews compared this to France falling to Germany the other night.
I mean,
Bernie won Nevada.
Kidding me, man? and Matthews, you know, prone to hyperbole.
They're left-wing networks, supposedly.
Yeah, I know. But it speaks to just how much they aren't, Gabe.
Yes,
in the end, they're institutional. They're not ultimately left.
And it'll be interesting to see if Bernie actually survives this onslaught. Because what are they going to do after? Like, from a media standpoint, Richard, like from MSNBC standpoint, and these guys are pieces of work, bro, right? Joy Reid, one of their hosts, really homophobic, over the top stuff, right? I was hacked. All right. Well, we found more stuff, Joy. I was hacked again. People are trying to get me fired. No explanation, no nothing, right? Yeah, okay, you were hacked, right? You were hacked of these words, etc. Harvey Weinstein that was just nailed. They silenced it. Roman Farrow was there. They shut it down, right? He had to go to the New Yorker to get this out. Matt Lauer, like they didn't know Matt Lauer had a sex dungeon in his office, right? The best is, too, Savannah Guthrie, who's his co-host on the Today Show. She's like, I had no idea. You know, I'm as shocked as anyone. And she's so good at playing this little, innocent girl. And I'm thinking, you won Emmys for journalism. You're a journalist, and you didn't know your co-host, was doing this. All right, we'll take a quick break. Renzi Unfiltered continues.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Renzi Unfiltered continues. Get on the grid. We're with Richard Garner, former colleague of ours from the HSR days. No introduction necessary. So, Richard, you know, we could talk for hours about this stuff. But so the political, as you stated, there's this gray area of left and right, and it does exist to a certain extent. But I'll tell you what, and I won't name names, but I know people that lunch and dine with the Fox people, all right? And and I'm talking executives. And somebody asked them, they said, you guys, you know, you really believe this stuff? And and he said, the guy said, oh, God, no. He goes, I'll be honest with you. He goes, when we started this network, MSNBC was already to the left. He goes, if they were to the right, we'd be to the left.
His business.
Exactly. Like, it wasn't any ideological. People think that it was. It really started out just so Robert Ailes could get hand jobs in the office. You know what I mean? And, right wing leaning news. But it wasn't that, you know what, we can shape culture and shape things and take over. That sort of developed as they went on. Right. And it's not really even their company philosophy. Like, one of the Murdoch kids hates the politics of it. Right. He's got one kid that's diabolical and that runs it. And he's got the other kid that every money that they put, one of the sons puts money against it. Like, he's for the environment. He's for this. You know what I mean? It's a battle with the Murdochs. But it's just business. But as you stated, And MSNBC, like they're at least, and I say this, I always said this about the right, Richard. I don't like them, but I've always said it. At least they tell you, listen, we don't like gay people, all right? we don't like immigrants.
Gonna put it right
we don't
out.
Like gay people. We like baseball. We like football. You like baseball. Like, you know what I mean? They're very, they don't hide it. You know what I'm saying? They're not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they tell you, yes, this is who we are, and, you know, this is it. You look at the Democrats, and they're just so swarmy. You know what I mean? Like Bloomberg, like, hey, he's a real nice guy, right? Like, Elizabeth Warren would do a hatchet job on anybody. Like, they're just, they don't stand for anything. And I'm telling you, I see it here in America, Richard. People see this, right? People see this, and they underestimate Trump as well. And the other thing that the media gets me, they always talk, they always have white people talking about minorities. Oh, black people are going to vote for Joe Biden. Why? Because you say they are? And I've had numerous African-Americans tell me they like Trump. And they all say the same thing. I ain't voting for him, but they're like, I got no problem with him. And you know why? The number one thing they say? They say, he might be crazy, man, but the Democrats always got their hands in my pocket. Cuomo, and another thing too, Richard, culturally that the news doesn't want to bring up, Trump's never really gone after African Americans. He's never really said anything, right? You know what I mean? He called Africa a shithole or whatever, you know what I mean? But he's never pissed them off. And the fact is, a lot of black Americans, there is tension with the illegal Hispanic community that they feel as though they got jobbed, right? They're taking their jobs and stuff. So yeah. I'm just saying, like, the mainstream media, like, they don't really call these things, like, what's going on in reality out there. But as far as Bernie, do you think he can get through this, or are they going to, like, pull out all the stops and just, like, they're not going to
let
this happen?
Well, there's no – whether he can get through it, we'll answer that second. Pull out all the stops. They're already pulling out all the stops, which is – it's scary for a couple of reasons. One, it's the old – you know, fool me once, shame on you, right? But now you come through the whole Hillary mess with the DNC and railroading Bernie in 16. And what are we seeing here? You didn't listen. You didn't learn. Like, this guy had 90% of the under 30 voters of the Democratic Party supporting a 75-year-old Jewish grandfather and avowed socialist. This should tell you that people aren't looking for a tweak to the system. They want radical change. Exactly what happened with Trump on the right. The Republican establishment wouldn't listen. They couldn't see it. And in the end, they got buried. They got steamrolled. And all of a sudden now they're all worshiping at the altar of Trump because they know he runs the party. That was the great train robbery. These guys just weren't paying attention. It was right out there in front of them. For this to have happened with Wasserman Schultz and Hillary and all that stuff in 16, and us to be sitting here 4 years later knowing that, okay, well, Bernie has come out again. He's had a heart attack. Again, he's an avowed socialist in the United States of America. Yet what we're seeing is the majority of the support of not just Democrats, young voters, but the future of the country says they want this guy. They don't want their another, you know, same boss, a new boss, same as the old boss thing. They want radical change. And this is not what, you know, what are you hearing from the establishment Democrats? Whoa, way easy, Bernie. Yeah. Like, relax.
Including
there.
Barack
Bring
Obama.
Pay for it.
Including Barack What's Obama. That? Including Barack Obama, who I'm reading behind the scenes, is, you know, supposedly was going to step up and try to stop it, in which Barack said, people don't want to tear the system down. Yeah, that's just how delusion, and that's why Barack.
That's exactly
you
what
were
they
so
want,
vanilla and middle ass of the road as far as being a president was concerned, because you didn't want to ever rock the boat with anything, right? I mean, that was his big mandate, just, you know, status quo. But they're really being exposed, like they are like the, and I think Ocasio-Cortez. And for people tuning in, none of this is an endorsement for any of these people. But from a betting standpoint, I'm telling you now, Bernie Sanders is minus 138, Bloomberg's plus 300, Biden's now plus 800. But, you know, you see from the extreme standpoint, and you've got AOC on board here and with Sanders, and I like what she stated. She stated, in any other country, I wouldn't even be in the same party as someone like Joe Biden. Like, I like that she doesn't hide it. Like, you know what I mean? She's like, no, I don't like these people. I'm not one of them. And we're going to kick them out. And she just started a thing where they're going, she's going after everybody. Like, basically, if you're not, like she, and it might take a while, right? It's not overnight. And I'm telling people, like, that's the future, like 8 years from now when she comes around. But don't underestimate her impact too now with Bernie Sanders. But it just goes to show, like, Biden dismissed her right away, right? Well, who, that girl? He called her that girl. Yeah, good job, Joe. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Nancy Pelosi hates this girl too, right?
Hates her, man.
Like,
hates
what a passion. Like, right?
Yeah.
But like her just because she's a thorn. And it's funny, you notice one person that never insults her and has a nickname for everybody? Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's true. He that's a never, good point, actually. I never thought of it.
Never, ever talks about her. Ever. And behind the scenes, he told people the other day, he said she's going to go after Schumer next, and she's going to knock Schumer off his ass, and she's going to take his seat. And that's what Trump said at the dinner. He likes her because she's, you know what, she's a shit disturber, right, from Trump's queen. Like, they're all the same. It's like Bernie and Trump. Like, Trump actually loves Bernie. It's a problem for him. He likes him too much.
Who are the two people that Trump doesn't pick on ultimately, which demonstrates that he's actually afraid / respects them? Putin and AOC. Right? Because I guarantee you, he does know, but like I always, you know, my blood curdles when I hear people say, oh, don't believe all the whatever. Trump's actually a genius. No, you don't understand the definition of the word genius, or you're an idiot. But what I will say is people have different skill sets and they have different perspectives and abilities to see things. This guy is an opportunistic pig, full stop. Always has been, always will be. But what do opportunistic pigs see before everybody else? Threats. And they know that everybody else is looking over here. Often you should be looking over there, because that's exactly how he got to where he is. And he sees that AOC is the only one who's actually willing to, and she's actually better at explaining how to pay for a Green New Deal and to college tuition and all that than Bernie is. Like, Bernie's disastrous interview.
Well, Bernie gets into listen, just shut up, all right? And
like, I know, he doesn't.
He's like, don't worry about it. Like, he gets angry. Like, don't worry.
We got it.
My favorite Bernie moment.
Trillion.
Like, my favorite Bernie moment is when he told the baby to shut up. Like, so it's just funny, like, that, like you said, you have this nice old man, like, everyone loves him, he's for healthcare from everyone, and the baby's crying during Bernie's talk, and he's in, like, a smaller room, and Bernie just stops, and he goes, can somebody do something about that?
Are you misremembering this?
And when he goes, I can't speak. He's like...
No, but because there's a video of Trump. There's exactly what he just described. Because he initially goes, this was in the campaign. He's like, at first he says something about the baby, and then he tries to be like, I like babies. Yeah. No, babies are all right. And then the baby continues to cry. And then Trump just goes, okay, that's enough. Get the baby out of here. It's gold, man. Like
his patience
his
level.
Curdling.
I read an hilarious thing, dude, that someone sneezed in the room. Like, they weren't, like, next to him. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, presidential meeting. So Trump's at the desk. Someone probably about 20 feet away at one of those couches in the Oval Office. Someone sneezed, all right? And I guess everyone in the room was like, oh, shit. And, like, they all sort of – and Trump was like, let it go for a second. But, like, a real psycho was like, hey, so – he just said, you know, if you know you're going to sneeze, why would you come in here? And people, but then I guess the entire meeting got derailed. He went into Jesus effing. What the hell's wrong with you people? I'm going to get sick from one of you assholes. No, like he went in. They basically have to shut the meeting down. They're like, everyone's got to go now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, 'cause he just, and he was like, if you're going to, and it was on TV. When he did the interview with Stephanopoulos there in the Oval Office, that Mick Mulvaney guy coughed in the background.
Yeah,
same thing. He stopped the interview and he said, are you effing kidding me, Mick? Are you kidding me? He's like, what are you even doing here? Like, imagine, like, this guy, he's so psycho, you can't, like, you can't sneeze, don't breathe. Take a quick break. We'll be right back with Richard Garner.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Morency Unfiltered continues. Get on the grid, Sports Grid. We hope you're enjoying the program. So from a betting standpoint, Richard, so Bernie Sanders is minus 138. Bloomberg is plus 300. And God, you want to talk about disasters, $450 million. Bloomberg's like Trump, too. He's on tape, Richard, basically stating that he would drone his opponents and he can't wait to be president to get back at people. This is what we're at now. Like, this is what we're at. Like, just for everyone knows. And this guy's got $64 billion. Like, why doesn't Bezos just run next time, right? Like, this is what we're getting here.
Yeah, that's what'll happen. Yeah.
Or Zuckerberg, et cetera. But, so Bernie's minus 138, Bloomberg's plus 300, Biden's plus 800, Buttigieg is fading at 10 to 1.
10 to 1?
Yeah, 10 to 1 for Buttigieg. I thought he had a chance, but he's just too plastic and fake. But in the big picture, and this is like we always talk about like playing futures and you got to show patience. The election is in November. Bernie won't beat. It'll be a competition. The old Electoral College will do them in. And Bernie going on TV and talking about Castro being a good guy isn't going to help. Like, he's got to pivot. Like, if you or I, they were like, all right, Bernie, listen, just pivot away from the Castro and Che Guevara talk, all right? Like
no,
seriously.
No, you guys didn't know Castro the way I knew Castro.
Yeah. Like, it's like, bro, but it's just like it's Trump on the other side. Kim Jong-un's a great guy. What are you guys talking about?
Yeah, it is. But you're right, yeah.
Trump was minus 163 last week. It's minus 175 now. Bernie won't beat him. The movement's begun. I think AOC will be the one in like 8 years type of deal. But Trump's minus 175. I think he repeats.
Well, I mean, right now, that's, you know, there's just no.
And the media will want him to, Richard.
Argument to, and, that's that?
And the sad thing is, if you're Bernie, you're screwed. The left-wing establishment won't be on your side. Trump makes money for cable TV. They've never made money like this cable news. And Bernie literally and figuratively will go after all these people for antitrust. Like he will. Like he will shut these people down and break them up. They know it. That's why. But and on a quick thing too, I love how the Goldman Sachs guy the other day said Bernie would be a disaster. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, that's really gonna hurt him, you saying that. Like they don't get it. But it goes to show like that they are concerned for real. And Trump was one thing. They were worried just because they thought he was crazy, but they think Bernie's coming for their money. They're not going to let him win anyways.
Well, and that's a good sort of analogy because, you know, Trump's crazy is one thing. He can sort of tear up a lot of, you know, new legislation around the environment, around anything else. But Bernie could bring the system down. That is actually, ironically, to your point, more threatening to the establishment. If I'm in the Republican war room, with you know, Trump and Junior and whomever pitching ideas, I guarantee I'm taking clips from Warren, from Buttigieg, and all these guys throughout this process. And when and if Bernie is the candidate, I'm just running that nonstop of hearing all these Democratic hopefuls. Like, have you ever seen Elizabeth Warren angrier? Like,
it'd be so easy. You can write the commercial, Richard. All you gotta say is. Elizabeth Warren is one of the most left-wing people in the world, and she thinks Bernie is unelectable and extreme, right? Like, you just, you spin it.
That's
exactly.
It
like,
itself.
It's easy. So it really does.
So if they're going to go at it at this pace, and to your point earlier, get the support of MSNBC, CNN, and the quote-unquote liberal Democratic establishment, then that's going to get us right up to about, I think, the Democratic conventions in June. So let's say ultimately this goes down to the wire. Nobody's conceding. There's still 3, 4, 5 people on the debate stage by May. Well, let's say ultimately Bernie gets the nomination. It's June. How are you going to pivot for July, August, and September to all of a sudden be like, no, we love Bernie. We think he's fantastic. When all we have is nothing but quotes from you for the last 3 or 4 months saying the guy's unelectable.
Yeah, and I tell you what, down the road, it's going to be a disaster for the Democrats because he'll end up losing. There'll be severe resentment amongst the youth. They're going to boot the established Democrats out. They'll lose power in the House, and they'll really be screwed. Like, it's funny how they're just so bad at this, Richard. Like, the Democrats are just bad at their jobs, bro. Like, they're bad at planning. They, like you said, they don't think ahead. They don't play hardball. Like, they're just, they're morons.
And, but you said it earlier. Yeah. This is really important. This one thing about Trump, and I guarantee you historians talk about it and will talk about it, and political philosophers, whatever it is, he stood for something, right? People forget the Democratic Party was the party of the farmer and the rural, low-level worker. Yep. But there was the Labor Party in the 20s and 30s and 40s, FDR, all that. They were considered the saviors of the rural communities of the country. Now, at some point over the last 50 years, they became what? So you kind of look like the Republicans, like you look and sound and agree on 5 out of 10 major things on economy, on war, on everything else. So what do you stand for now? Well, you stand for, like, you like to be self-righteous. You like to talk like you're better than people. Yeah. Because you aspire to be better than people, but you don't stand for anything. You don't have guts or courage. You're not willing to take strong, really quote unquote radical positions. You really just want the new boss, same as the old boss, different tie. And maybe we disagree on 3 things that allow me to look good on The View.
Yeah. I like it. You know what? It's funny
what
you say that too.
For, man?
The Democrats always drop. Well, my friends on the other side of the aisle, we disagree on this. The guys on the other side are like our enemies on the other side of the aisle. like, you guys don't get it. Like, do you? Like, you're too slow. You're too dumb. And the pattern will continue. All right, Richard. So I wanted to get to this. You know, we've only got about 5 minutes. I appreciate your time. There's, you know, the old versus new all the time. And it's happened with LeBron and Jordan and then with Kobe. It's been coming up and it's been happening often. And then the other night after Tyson Fury, one of the stiffs on ESPN said they haven't seen, I think it was Kellerman. There hasn't been a heavyweight that pressures their opponents like Tyson Fury since Muhammad Ali. And I'm thinking, well, you know, Mike Tyson pressured his opponents pretty good. Like, so did Lennox Lewis. A lot of guys did.
So did Larry Holmes.
Yeah, yeah. So, and, you know, you and I are getting older now. And so I am sort of becoming that guy in a sense of, what are you kidding me? This sucks. Like, in my day, like, but I'm not that guy because everything has an exception. Different sports is different and everything's different. But it seems to me that they're both wrong, Richard. And I think I've defined this now in that too many old people discount the youth and all the millennials and they don't realize the millennials got their own problems to deal with. Yet the millennials too often declare things the best without knowing. I mean, a lot of these kids really don't know anything that happened. And like, they tell me, well, I wasn't alive then. How am I supposed to know like what happened with Michigan in 1986? It's like, well, I wasn't alive like when Kennedy got shot, but I know about it. Like, you know, like people like they don't like they, so my deal is young people need to stop declaring everyone the best of all time. Like, we got Mahomes, the best quarterback of all time, right? Yeah. Like, he's the best. Everything's the best of all time now. And then you got the old farts who are like, oh, everything sucks now and everything. And that's not true either, man. You watch hockey in the old days, bro. Like, they were like little twig men, right? So it goes both ways, doesn't it?
But you just captured, if you were to say, what's, if I was forced to write a philosophy, my own sort of, let's say, life philosophy, you're in the area code. I was going to say this earlier when we were talking about the Democrats and the Republicans. I mean this. Where else could you get a show? And I mean, it sounds like it's self-congratulatory to you and I, but I really don't know objective people, Gabe. Like, I look for objective people. I want to find objective people, and I want to talk to objective people.
Yeah, they're your God.
Really,
that's people, the problem.
People who can't be objective, I have no interest in you. You cannot provide me any value because.
But isn't that
you
pretty much all of society now? Which is so frustrating.
This is what I'm saying, Gabe. You're limited by your blind spots. And if you're limited by your emotions and your blind spots and your biases, what is coming out of your mouth is not true, or it's not accurate, or it's not as accurate. So whether it's your political biases and people can't, like somebody who's hardcore left who can't point out their guy's an idiot, and somebody who's hardcore right who can't point out Trump's a f***ing asshole, to me, you're both useless. Same as exactly what you're talking about. The millennial that everything is wrong back in the day and everybody was a okay boomer and all the other stuff and everything's fantastic now is an idiot. And that person who, oh, the music today, it's all shit. Music stopped being good. Wow, coincidentally, just in your generation, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you fucking loser. And honestly, both of those things to me, like, I'm trying to work on my own anger issues, Gabe. I think in a lot of areas, I've made some progress. For me, this blows blood vessels for me. People that can't be objective. And I agree with you. It happens in your millennials and it happens with your old school dudes.
And I share your rage as far as that's concerned, Richard. And I find myself talking less to people. You can't talk through people. And that's where we're at right now. And man, I want to know all sides. You know what I mean? I want to know all sides so I'm smarter, so I can use it for myself. But it's bumper sticker politics, right? If Jesus ran for office, you'd say Jesus is soft on. He says, turn the other cheek. I say Jesus is soft on crime. And, and you know what I'm saying? You just spin it, right? Yeah, look at this hippie. So, yeah, turn the other cheek, huh, Jesus? This guy want killers? You want immigrants running around everywhere? We got to get out of here. Great stuff, Richard. Yeah.
Okay, talk to you soon, Gabe.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Well, I knew things would get pretty heated when we had Richard Garner on the program, and when I brought up the Democratic elections that are going on right now, Super Tuesday around the corner, and I'll tell you what, March Madness is rapidly approaching as well. I believe by my count, we are now 22 days away from the start of March Madness. Well, that's the Thursday, so I guess we're 20 days. Yeah, generally, that Tuesday, we're less than 3 weeks, actually. I get thrown off. Mike Blewett joins us with that Tuesday start now, Mike. So we're less than 3 weeks away from the tournament.
That's right. Play-in games just 3 weeks from today. So I'm excited about it. And I think the most underrated part about March Madness, actually, is the conference tournament games.
Oh, I agree.
Now, I know you get into them and I get into them, but I think people that are maybe a little bit more casual college basketball fans, I always encourage those people to turn the clock back just 1 week, because some of those smaller conference teams are killing each other to try to get into the tournament. And I think that's actually some of the most exciting basketball, because Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in that first weekend goes by quick, but you can get a full week, 10 days of really intense college hoops if you tune into conference tournament week.
Yeah, you're exactly right. From a betting standpoint, nothing tops it. It's better than March Madness. March Madness kind of for amateurs. Sort of like New Year's Eve, right? The Thursday and the Friday is cool. They bastardize the tournament so much, Mike. You know, oh, we have a game at 12 and another game at 2:25 and another game at 4, and they stretch it out all day now. and they do it differently, even into the first weekend, it's already a come down where you realize, wow, there's only four games today, and there's another four games, and the tournament's kind of over like that right away. They used to just sort of be overkill, bam, bam, bam. I get it. They spend so much money. They want to stretch it out. But you're right. The conference tournaments, that's like if you're a better and a fan, where there really is like, wow, there's 48 games today. and then again. And as you stated, the conference tournaments are a waste of time to the big time schools. They don't even like it.
Yeah, they're already in.
Yeah, like it's a waste of time. And it's big, it's the conference. They rather win the regular season title. You know what I mean? Like if Kansas gets knocked out in the Big 12 tournament, it's not the end of Bill Self's life, right? It's basically, it's for TV, and you have your biggest games. You got some of these kids, the Big 10, they're beating the crap out of each other on the Sunday before the tournament starts. How does that help anybody? Like what are we doing here, right? Like it's just for TV, but nothing tops, you know, the Northern Florida Ospreys against Florida Gulf Coast with a trip to the dance at stake.
Right.
You know, like when you get those type of games and you see the joy of like a Vermont Catamount team that wins and like, hey, we're going to the dance again. That, you know, life is about the journey, not so much the destination. But speaking of journeys, you know, and we were just talking politics, Donald Trump got like a hero's welcome in India. And I've always thought, Mike, there's like a secret sign to you. Like, are you part of like some secret service detail that like went a couple of days ahead? I find it kind of coincidental that out of the blue, I got to go to India, Gabe. You go to India and Donald Trump's in India a couple of days later.
Yeah, I was laying the groundwork for Donald to have a good visit while he was there. Happenstance, obviously, a huge coincidence. I went to India for the first time in my life. I was only there 72 hours, and considering the amount of time it takes to travel there and back, if I am to go back anytime soon, I would like to spend a little bit more time there because it just wreaked havoc on your body clock and everything else. But
I'm a big fan of Indian food.
Yeah, so am I, actually. The hard part there, though, is that you can't, obviously, eat and drink everything that people native to India are drinking. Different bacteria in the water. Food being washed with that, so you have to avoid certain
things. So you wait at the hotels type of thing?
Yeah, but as long as everything's cooked, I'm good. Like, that's the way I approached it. Cooked food, I'm on board. Bottled water, I'm on board. Anything else, little sketchy. You can get sick.
Mike Blewett, the global traveler. So, yeah, when you were gone, Bernie Sanders has taken over, basically. The socialists have won. And the media is in a big panic. And I was just talking with Richard Garner that the media didn't want Trump to win. Like, they were kind of scared of him. But at the same point in time, he was entertaining, right? Like, he provided cable.
Really good for business.
Yeah, cable TV's never made money like this before. Like, Trump is the world's best entertainer. He really is. That's why he is. That's how he got where he did, like, through by hustling, selling, entertaining, so to speak. Bernie Sanders is entertaining. You know what I mean? The Larry David stuff, what it does him, and the way he talks, and he's an angry old man. It's actually funny. It's entertaining, but he's scary because he wants to take their money. So he's not going to get like a fair shake from the media here, Mike. And we're just talking from a betting standpoint. As a betting man, this is a future. You get paid next November only, but you know, young people love Sanders, and I think it'll be a competitive race if it's Sanders and Trump, but the Electoral College will do Bernie in, and Trump will win -175. What's your quick take on everything?
I would say that Mike Bloomberg, to this point, has spent, he just topped $500 million in spend. So as disastrous as the debate was last week, I wouldn't totally count him out. But as of this moment and the way that every election in my lifetime has run, if the economy looks good, the incumbent is a shoo-in. That's just the way it goes. And I don't think any Trump voters are going to feel the need to not go back to the polls. And Bernie has certainly a very unique following. One of the more unique ones that I've seen, certainly in my lifetime. But I think that's the way.
It's a good point, Mike.
It's difficult to get rid of an incumbent when the economy looks good, at least on the surface.
And I think Bernie, I don't think Bernie's this raging socialist. Like, if he was smart, he'd put that word out. You know, the rest of the world's not socialist. Healthcare is not socialism, right? Like, he should put that out. But you're exactly right. Like, if things were bad for people, then maybe they'd say, all right, you know what? Let's give this a chance, right? But people are going to be like, yeah, I like Bernie, but I'm not, you know, I don't want this guy in my pocket. Things are going well for me right now. And I don't want to shake it up, even if Trump tweets crazy things. I don't care. What does that have to do with my life? And people are going to look at it like that. Like, the media doesn't really see that. Like, that, you know, people think, like, the media gets shocked. Oh, my God, Trump, like, fired everyone and wants to, it's tweets. Nobody cares.
Right? I think
the average person doesn't care.
Do you have a little bit more money in your pocket or not?
Yeah. That's exactly it. But the thing is, it's short-sighted because he wants to help you with healthcare. But that's besides.
You're not wrong.
So listen, Mike. Now you're back. I'm trying to get people to go. I'm going. People are hit or miss, but we'll see if your boy Lisi comes through. But the New York Guardians are playing the Wildcats this week. 2:00 seems like a good time because once the tournament starts and everything, you know what I mean, it's going to be even busier. So it seems like the perfect Guardians game to go to, which is this Saturday against the Los Angeles Wildcats. The Wildcats are 7-point favorites in this game. I was hoping it wouldn't be so high because I really like what I saw from the Wildcats with Josh Johnson starting to get into a rhythm. It was a nice week 3 for the XFL. The competition was good. New teams suddenly showed that, hey, you know, the season isn't over for us yet. LA showed something. St. Louis has really got something special going on. Dallas with Landry Jones. Now you're starting to see why they were favored. I mean, Landry Jones, your guy, he just picked them apart. He wasn't even 100% yet. It was just the little things, picking up the blitzes. And, you know, there were a couple of times, like, they brought it up. They were like, yeah, he's just a step ahead of everybody, right? He's played at a higher level for longer. So, you know, the competition level, it's not just, ooh, D.C. and Houston. This thing's going to get interesting over the next couple of weeks.
I agree. St. Louis, really, these last 2 weeks has shown that Tamu is a force to be reckoned with. They have a really good ground game in St. Louis. The fans in St. Louis, they might be the MVP of the season so far. Showed up nearly 30,000 people showing up there. A very good local rating. So the TV ratings had a slight decline from week 2 to week 3. But you have to keep it in perspective, Gabe, because – it may be down a little bit from week 2 to week 3, but the ratings were good. They beat an NBA primetime game with Giannis versus the 76ers on Saturday night.
Yeah, no, they just need to keep sustaining what they're doing. Exactly. They weren't going to get $4 million a game. If they settle into this, you know, $2 million, $1.5 million, so far so good. And it hasn't – there's still stuff they can do here where people will take note. We had Kurt Menefee on this morning. Ariel asked him, like, what's the difference? You know, why will this make it as opposed to the first time? And it's completely different. Like, the first time was a gimmick, right? The first time, I mean, Jesse Ventura was the color analyst. I like him, but you know what I'm saying? Like, come on. You know, it wasn't.
They ran the whole league to the starting line to try to get it started quickly. This time, they took 2 years. Yep. They hired legit coaches. They took care of the quarterback position, which, look, we know right now, I'm watching this, it isn't perfect, but we got 4 or 5 guys that are playing legit football there, and the quarterback play is really going to help this league. We haven't seen all of the gimmicks work out, but we're seeing a lot more returns. We saw a return for a touchdown the other day.
You know what we're going to see? We're going to see, and I've been bringing it up, but I wish we had more time. The show just flies by, but we're going to see one of these NFL guys in a year or two end up there. Not Trump trying to make it, like I said, like an Andy Dalton type. Some guy that's already made $140 million, $160 million. He goes, you know what? I'll have fun with this. I'll play for this team for 10 games. Sure, give me half of them. You know what I mean? $50,000 a week. That's the one thing. Vince McMahon set aside $375 million for 2 years. And he's a smart man. And, you know, these guys don't get rich by overpaying everybody. And you don't want to get crazy like the USFL and start offering guys crazy money. But for the quarterbacks, you know, if you raise it up a little bit, like, you know, if Cardell's making, you know, if it's the upper tier quarterbacks in the league are making about $250,000, $300,000. If you bump that up to like 750K, it's only 10 games. That's 75,000 a week. It's good enough money that a brand name guy would play, but I don't think they want brand names. They want fun players. But you know, you'll see. At some point, there will be that perfect mix. But Mike, it's always a pleasure. Good to have you back from India.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dave. I'll see you again next week.
Mike Blewett, Morenci Unfiltered.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.